Happy 8-8-8-2015, everyone out there in Zeta Global Radio Land. I am your host, Lainey Savante, soon to be Walken, and I am pleased to start the show right off with all these eights, talking to the woman who knows best. World-renowned, intuitive numerologist Ruth Dreher is here with us to talk about this day and this month and what these eights are all about. All right, Ruth, take it away. Tell us about 888.
Thanks, Savante. You'll remember in numerology, 9 is the length of all cycles. Today's date is 8-8-2015. Adding 8 plus 8 plus 8 totals 24, which adds to 6. So today is the 6th day in the 9-day cycle. What if today, regardless of what you see or hear, you think love, beauty, and service? Someone cuts you off in traffic and you think love. The stock market jumps up or down and you think beauty. Something occurs in politics and you think service. Be aware that 8 can hold more negative opinions than any other number. So if you're agreeing with others, you might be in mass consciousness. If you're listening to Zeta Global Radio, you don't agree with others often, so don't start today. Contribute to the good of the planet by shrugging your shoulders, breathing, exhaling, and turning your thoughts to fun things. Once I was in New York City when they had a garbage strike, and there were piles of garbage everywhere. I honestly looked at the piles and saw beauty in them. I can't say that I do that all the time, but for today I challenge you to transform what you see or hear. For Zeta Global Radio, I'm Ruth Dreher. Find out more about numerology at www.cybernumbers.com.
Thank you, Ruth. And also, listeners, we will be having some updates soon on some of the workshops and lectures that are coming to both Hawaii and to New Mexico. So stay tuned for that, and you can have some FaceTime and one-on-one in person with Ruth Dreher.
This fall, by popular demand, FreeTheBees.org and the Body Mind Institute bring you the most bee-friendly social education initiative ever created. Alicia Bee is combining forces with BodyMindInstitute.com and the most inspiring and influential people on the planet. Beginning this fall at FreeTheBees.org, Alicia Bee and friends will bring you unstoppable good news that will change the game and actually help you save and restore bees and the food supply chain.
Thank you, Ruth, so much for that wonderful 1 minute in numerology. As you know, last week we started our positive news segment on Zeta Global Radio, and we are calling all spiritual journalists from around the world to send in your news or let us know if you want to participate, and you too may be able to go on air with us and talk about what's happening in your part of the world. With us today is head of Zeta Global Group, Vitaly Safarov from the UK, and obviously a big part of the Zeta Global Radio station, talking about what's happening in his part of the world. So welcome to the show, Vitaly.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Savante. Pleasure to be back on the show. Pleasure.
Excellent. So people have been writing in telling us that they like this positive news, positive events, what is happening around the world. So a lot of us are anxious to see what's happening, you know, on different parts of the planet. So tell us what's happening in the UK or whatever you have the news. Is your news based on UK or?
That's right, Samantha, yes. And in the UK, London especially, and north of England, always buzzing with mind, body, spirit events, a lot of musical concerts, sound healing retreats, sacred medicine retreats, you name it. And I'm in Glastonbury here, so we've just had 25th, I believe, Glastonbury Symposium held every year here. The town was buzzing, like thousands of people in town. In Glastonbury Goddesses Festival, and it was really amazing to see all the all the women dressed in these goddesses and fairies outfit. It was really, really fantastic. Yeah. So, and
I want Zeta Global Radio to cover that Goddess Festival next year. Count us in.
Oh, absolutely. Let's start with the Probe International. Now, the Probe International is the UK, Europe's longest-running UFO paranormal conference. And it's held twice a year, October and March. Now, this year, they're celebrating their 25th annual conference on the 10th and the 11th. at the Central YMCA in St. Anne's in Blackpool. It was founded by late Jean Wright and Sam Wright, and the conference is showcasing wonderful range of speakers covering subjects such as ufology, crop circles, paranormal phenomenon, conspiracies. A really wonderful conference. I have personally gave my first ever public talk on the language of light at this very conference. So I'm very, very excited to start this news with this conference. Now, what I'd like to say is that the October's keynote speaker is flying all the way from the United States is an American researcher named Jo Ann Richards. Have you heard of Jo Ann Richards?
I sure have, yeah.
Well, she represents the Earth Defense Headquarters in the U.S. And her topic on the day, so she's a keynote speaker, she'll be speaking both on Saturday and Sunday. Her topic on the day is the secret bases and alien activities in Middle East and Central Asia. And she will relate the history and information about UFO sightings, alien encounters, stargates, and New World Order. So this is one of those not-to-be-missed events. And for those wishing to attend this conference, please visit www.ukprobe, and that's PROBE.com. So it's www.ukprobe.com.
Excellent. Wow, that sounds incredible. A lot of people are talking about disclosure and paranormal and UFO activities. I know in the States there's a lot of UFO festivals, but sounds like this is one of the longer running conferences. And we have a lot of things to talk about that festival probe, so more as time goes on. So again, if you want to learn more about this year's conference, October 10th and 11th, check out ukprobe.com. All right. Thank you, Vitaly.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Samantha. Well, let's go to September 11th to 13th, Mind, Body, Spirit, Well-Being Festival in Birmingham. Now, this festival offers a collection of awesome international workshop leaders and cutting-edge spiritual teachers. This year, keynote guest speakers are Paul McKenna and Barefoot Doctor, amongst many others.
Paul McKenna is a British hypnotist, television broadcaster, and an author of 12 international best-selling help books. The Times of London names him as one of the world's most important modern self-help gurus. And Paul McKenna is the UK's most successful non-fiction author. Wow, very impressive.
Wonderful. And what about Barefoot Doctor? Do you know about Barefoot Doctor?
Yes, I do. Thanks to you, I've learned a lot in these subjects. Barefoot Doctor runs the UK's busiest acupuncture healing practice for 17 years, something I love. I love acupuncture. It's growing in acclaim, and Barefoot Doctor is treating celebrities including Madonna, Naomi Campbell, Jay Jagger, Pink Floyd, etc., as well as being a master sound healer and music producer. He is the author of 16 books, including Handbook for the Urban Warrior, Liberation, Manifesto, and many more.
Wow, well done, Savantik.
I want to meet the Barefoot Doctor.
He's an incredibly humble guy. I had a pleasure of meeting him on two occasions. Once I attended his workshop at the Union Chapel in London, and once we met him at Leicester Square to discuss of a potential collaboration on the project. A very, very nice guy, really down to earth, very centered. And some of his health products are on the shelves in mainstream shops, by the way, the Barefoot Doctor food.
Oh, excellent. Wow. Well, I hope to learn more about Barefoot Doctor here in the U.S. Moving right along, what else do we have?
Well, with regards to this, the Mind, Body, Spirit, Wellbeing Festival, people can find out all of the information about the speakers, workshops, musicians, teachers, the exhibitors at www.mindbodyspirit.co.uk.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Again, mindbodyspirit.co.uk.
Wonderful. Okay, let's go to October 23rd, 24th, and 25th. It's the Mind,
nice.
Body, Soul Festival in Alexandra Palace.
So the last one was Mind, Body, Spirit. Now this one is Mind, Body, Soul.
That's right. This year, for the first time, I think, they'll be hosting this event at the famous Alexandra Palace. Savanti is yet another festival full of workshop, lectures, yoga and well-being classes with over 100 exhibitors. Everything mind, body, spirit can be found at the exhibition stalls, from psychic reading to cat's protection. I've never heard of cat's protection. To world peace meditations, sacred music and arts, and all sorts of mind, body, spirit paraphernalia.
Well, we should let the listeners know that Alexandra Palace is a historic entertainment venue in Alexandra Park, London. It was designed to serve as a public center of recreation, education, entertainment, and as North London's counterpart to the Crystal Palace in South London. And to learn more about this festival, visit mbsevents.co.uk. Let me repeat that for you. That's M as in Mary, B as in boy, S as in Sam, events.co.uk. And actually, we will have a list of all these incredible events that Vitaly is letting us know are happening in the UK on our Facebook page at Zeta Global Radio. And we're actually starting to run out of time, Vitaly. Can we hold off on some of these great events next week? Because I know you're going to be doing the news while Howard and I are off getting married. So if that's okay with you, we'll just continue these great events that are going to lead into November next week. And people can stay tuned if that works for you.
Wonderful. I'm really looking forward. I thoroughly enjoyed this. This opportunity. So thank you, Savanti.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I hope you continue to stay on. We have Alicia Forrester Scott. We actually call her Alicia Bee, a world expert on the study of bees and everything that you possibly ever wanted to know about the bees. I know it's a huge issue, obviously worldwide, but she's going to raise the lid on the real truth. And I know that Trina wrote in and sent us some articles about what's happening in London about the bees, and I don't know if that's impacted your world at all, but I know that's definitely of concern here in the U.S., so it's really great that she's here with us.
Wonderful. I would like to, because I'd like to contribute to the subject matter as well.
Yeah, thank you so much, Vitaly. So again, thank you all for listening to this first segment, and we will take a break and come back with Alicia Bee. Again, stay tuned next week as Vitaly shares more on what's happening in the U.K. and around the world. We'll be right back with Alicia Bee. Hi, this is Lainey Savante, host of Zeta Global Radio, and I'm pleased to present you this information from FreeTheBees.org. This fall, start living the best life you've had yet and fulfill your personal destiny in the most positive and uplifting ways possible. Visit FreeTheBees.org and sign up for Alicia Bee's program notifications. And each time a new media release occurs, you can be in the know. By signing up for Alicia Bee's Easy Enrollment Program notifications, your support directly benefits a mass of Vital Bee's work and community sustainability projects.
Hi, this is Andrea Williams, publisher of Natural Awakenings magazine in New Mexico, your monthly health and wellness publication. Our August magazine is focused on our children, the future generation. We look at new ways of parenting, share healthy kids' recipes, the pros and cons of vaccinations, and what to consider before getting that tattoo. We're excited to publish the Santa Fe Yoga Festival schedule with Michael Franti and Grace Potter as major music acts, and 3 days of back-to-back classes presented by over 30 magnificent teachers in our August issue. Now at newsstands in Albuquerque, Santa Fe, and Taos, or online at naturalawakeningsnnm.com. To advertise your events or services, please call 505-999-1319. Wishing you a beautiful summer.
Hello, this is Akashiana. I invite you to join us for a deep immersion of self-love and purification in the sacred waters of Costa Rica in April 2016. This is a deeper awakening into a space to remember, a time to reunite, and an experience of sacred exploration within divine you. We invite you through Zeta Global Radio for a special savings of 20% on our next sacred exploration. Sacred Explorations is part of the Path of Samadhi. It takes you on an experiential spiritual journey to the core of your being.
Welcome to the Saturday, August 8th edition of Zeta Global Radio. I am Lainey Savante, and thank you so much for being here. If you had a chance to listen to our first segment, we are thrilled with this positive news stories that we are now doing in the first top of the hour. A lot of people are calling in, loving it. We're talking about topics. If you didn't have a chance to listen, go back and go to these archives. And we're talking about what's happening around the globe, what's affecting all of us as one, and in a good way, in a positive, meaningful, intentional way, so we can share story and erase the doom and gloom and come to love and light. So with that, and another story, of course, that affects all of us is the topic of our show today. It's how the world is living with bees, how the world would live without bees, and doing all we can to free the bees. And the perfect person to be here to explain all of it to us is Alicia B. Forrester Scott. And I've had the privilege now, this is probably, I think, the third interview over the last 2 or 3 years where I've had the opportunity to interview Alicia. And I'm excited today to talk with her again because, as with everything, there's evolvement, there's growth, maybe there's setback. But Alicia is definitely the force behind so much movement in working with the bees. She's a proud faculty member at the Body Mind Institute. She's a solitary bee sales broker for Bee With Me Project. She's a media consultant and writer for Green Living Magazine out of Arizona. And her life and career mission is absolutely dedicated to saving and restoring bees in the food supply chain. So I'm very excited to have her here. She'll be talking about the freedbees.org and her easy enrollment. So without further ado, let's have Alicia B. on air with all of us on Zeta Global Radio. Welcome, Alicia.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, I'm absolutely thrilled. There's no one who comes to mind first than you and your constant support and leadership. So it's a real treat to have you here. We have a Zeta Global Radio is a multi-global, multi-country. I mean, it just goes on and on. We're in about 50 countries now. And so it would be great to get your perspective and how it affects everybody. People have been writing in, Alicia, with links to what's happening in the UK and what's happening in Greece and what's happening all over the world. So bees is not a U.S. problem. It's a world, planetary, earth problem. So let's talk about the bees, Alicia. Tell us something about bees that no one else knows, because if there's anyone, you know it, to share with us.
Well, there are a lot of facts about bees that are fully fascinating. The world of bees and the natural world as a whole is fascinating. There's magic that we don't understand that happens in the natural world, and bees are quite magical in that way. But one of the biggest facts about bees that people do not know is that there are many different types of bees, but that most bees, they forage, meaning they go look for food, and they live independently away from other bees. We all know about honeybees, right? They're the most popular type of bee. Everybody loves honey. Everybody's aware of their stinging. But did you know that most bees on the planet are called solitary bees? They're also called native bees. And solitary or native bees, again, they look for food and they live on their own. And another fun fact that goes along with that is there's over 20,000 types of bees on the planet.
Well, this is interesting already because I thought all bees, as the mere existence of them as a species, all create honey. So is that a misnomer?
It is a misnomer. In fact, that is why the honeybee is so very special, because they are the bee that makes the honey. Granted, bumblebees actually make a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of honey. But it is the honeybee that is the only type of bee that we're aware of that makes honey.
So those are the ones that are being affected by the colony collapse disorder. And maybe we should touch on that. I happen to know because I've interviewed you before and I've seen movies, so I know that there is a disorder called colony collapse disorder. But maybe touch a little bit about that. And I guess my question is, are the honeybees the only bees dying of this disorder?
Well,
Okay, so colony collapse disorder is a phrase that describes a list of questions that we have about why the bees are disappearing. There's hundreds of reports that have come in that point to the essential problem being toxic chemicals. But really, colony collapse disorder is pointing to a larger problem, and all creatures, including us humans, are being affected by the chemicals that are hurting pollinators and honeybees. A lot of these chemicals are used for conventional farming, our outdoor landscaping and home gardening, and even in our flea and tick treatments for our pets.
So it doesn't mean that when you hear colony collapse disorder, what does that mean exactly? I'm not even going to try to interpret it, because you know it exactly what that means better than anybody.
Well, colony collapse disorder is still considered somewhat of a mystery. You've heard people say that honeybees specifically will leave their colony, their hive, and they won't come back. And oftentimes we won't have any idea of what's happened to them or where they're going. So colony collapse disorder is describing a series of events that are occurring inside of the health of colonies that is preventing them from living out their lives or pollinating, the gardens and foods that they typically would in their natural element. But really, colony collapse disorder is kind of the tip of the iceberg, because there are actually a list of probably about 10 other reasons why the honeybee populations are in steep decline, including those toxic chemicals that I mentioned that the world's been using in conventional farming practices since the 1990s. You'd be interested to know that the first reason why the honeybees are failing is actually a tiny bug called a varroa mite. And the varroa mite is not new to infesting honeybee colonies. In the United States, we could even track it back, and all over the world, but really, we could track varroa mites in and out of the history of honeybees. Honeybees have always been able to, make it through infestations, but really what's happened now is we've turned these varroa mites into mutated superbugs, because the chemicals that they're exposed to are too strong. And so each of the generations of these varroa mites, which attach themselves actually physically to the honeybee, we're unable to kill the varroa mites or treat them in the colonies without actually killing the honeybees.
Is that because they're mutating into just unknown origin, really, at this point?
Yeah, they're mutating into these superbugs. And varroa mites used to attack honeybees outside of their hives, but now they're also found inside of their hives. So again, we have this colony collapse disorder that kind of describes the process by which the honeybees are disappearing, and there's still a lot of questions to be answered, but the number one reason is these varroa mites that have become superbugs because of the toxic chemicals that we've been using for several decades now.
That's a real-life horror story. I mean, that's something you'd see in a movie where the computer becomes human or has a mind of its own, but this is a real problem going on. The question I have for you is, you mentioned that there are over 20,000 types of bees on the planet. Out of those 20,000, is it only the honeybees that affect the food supply?
Well, the thing is honeybees are the only bee that has been invested in, because they create honey and other products, royal jelly, pollen, propolis, and so they've become a commodity. And so those that own and support conventional farming, where there are these very harsh chemicals being used to create the food, the bees are really suffering. The honeybees are really suffering the most, because we have only invested in learning how to manage them in crops that you know, produce food for us. So the honeybees are the only bees really that are suffering and becoming extinct because of this farming practice that we've adopted throughout the planet to, you know, be able to produce cheap food. And the immune systems of the bees, you know, because of other problems, just like even genetics, they're really, unfortunately, the only type of bee that is unable to fight off a lot of the bugs and a lot of the genetic problems, and they can't shake the chemicals out of their system as easy as some of the other native species of bees.
So really, it's coming down to the education of many, but also really to impart these studies to the conventional farmers, because obviously the organic farmers know this this knowledge and are doing things to support the bees. Do I have that right?
Right. You know, it comes down to an education challenge, and that's good news, actually, because we can educate each other. We have two types of farming. We have conventional farming, and we have organic farming, and they are very different processes because conventional farming is using toxic chemicals that are actually killing the bees that are pollinating the food, and it's increasing the food supply, or it's increasing the cost of the food supply while killing the number of bees that we have to pollinate the food supply when compared to organic farming, where they're using natural techniques to grow the foods and fend off bugs. So it really is a time for everyone to start deciding which direction they want to continue down. Do we want to continue supporting the conventional processes that are actually poor investments, or do we want to head into a different direction of organic farming where every level of economy is improved, including the quality and health of the food and the bees?
Well, well said. You know, last week we had Taylor Thompson Lancaster on. And Taylor is a modern-day Forrest Gump. If you didn't hear the show, please go check bbsradio.com/ZGR. We have an archive of it as well as on our Facebook page. And this gentleman is just incredible, Alicia. He's walking across America. He's in Tennessee. He started off in California, and he is doing this for GMO awareness so we can have an understanding. And, of course, part of the interview, I asked him, have you visited farms? So this is all tied in. We'll talk more about it in the next segment. And then, of course, lots of questions have been sent my way to come to you, Alicia. So we'll take a break, talk more about what we can do at home to help pollinators and learn all more about the bees through the eyes of Alicia Forrester Scott. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jane Charles, and I'm here on Zeta Global Radio. And I'm talking about the film Sold. We made this film as a tool for change to help end child trafficking. It's been quite the journey for us, and we're now releasing the film in the fall. Right now, we are launching an Indiegogo campaign so that we can fund our marketing and outreach for the film. And you can find the Indiegogo at soldthemovie.com and on our Facebook at Sold the Movie on Facebook. And our Twitter is Sold Movie. And we do hope that when the film comes out that everyone will see it and help us in this global move to end child trafficking and work with the Taught Not Traffic campaign so that we can keep kids in school until at least the age of 16, when they're 80% less likely to be trafficked. Thanks for being with us.
Hello and blessings, ZGR listeners. I'm Tom Carlson from Tech Love in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Tech Love is a conscious community of light center located in the heart of Nob Hill. Our space offers a warm and inviting setting for all of your gatherings. We invite and enjoy hosting pilgrims who are guided in the oneness throughout the world. From meditation and channeling groups, drum circles, kirtans, and other healing events, we are here as a physical location to draw people into communication with their higher purpose, oneness. If you're coming through New Mexico or already here, visit us at 3901 Central Avenue Northeast, just east of Carlisle, or visit us on the web, techlove.us. Namaste.
The tiny homes movement seems to be exploding all over the world. People are choosing to downsize their homes into more affordable, mobile versions of their dream homes. World-famous painter and craftsman Michael Ostosky is also owner of Roadrunner Homes, unique, one-of-a-kind land yachts that are ready to hit the road when you are. Be sure and take a look at some of the Roadrunner Homes for sale at facebook.com/groups/Roadrunner Tiny Homes. Custom orders are welcome. Remember, with Roadrunner Homes, home is where you park it.
Welcome back to ZGR Zeta Global Radio. I am Lainey Savante and here with Alicia B. Forrester Scott, who is talking about the world of bees, pollinator friends of ours, and how we can keep them doing what they do best and loving up the honeybees and understanding colony collapse disorder and understanding conventional farming and the toxic chemicals that no longer serve not only the bees but of course ourselves, as well as supporting organic farming. So lots to talk about today. Let's just continue this journey here with Alicia. Thank you again for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So as anyone might ask and people have, what is something that I can do at home today to help pollinators? I have my own garden. I don't know if it's flourishing like crazy, and we are seeing bees. I haven't seen bees back there. I mean, it was basically a raw space, had nothing really going except a few birds. And suddenly we build this garden and bees are everywhere. And it's so joyful for me. I have tears in my eyes actually when we're back there. I'm like, look at everybody.
Yeah, that is fun, isn't it? To watch a garden grow and to set yourself up to create a space where nature wants to join you. And it's a great question. I love the question. What's something that you can do at home right now to help pollinators? And, you know, there's a lot of gloom and doom, and it's unnecessary. It's actually not helpful because it doesn't feel good in our bodies. And so in our minds, the first thing I think we can do is intentionally change our energy to be more positive and have an outlook of positivity, because we have choices to make. And as long as we have choices to make, we have good news coming to us. As far as concrete things to do in your yard, I had an amazing opportunity in 2013, and you were involved with this event in New Mexico. I had an opportunity to hear 10 of United States representatives of pollination industry, organic farming, pollinator brokers, bee producers, and that question came up, what can we do? And there was a master gardener and an educator, and she said that the most important thing you can do at home is to choose plants to plant in your yard that are not GMO. That are native to the area that you're living, because GMO flowers, they don't produce the same food for pollinators. And so the bees, for example, are going to stop by the flower, but there's not really going to be anything there for them. And native flowering plants are also good for the ecosystem and other types of insects and creatures that need the food to eat that native plants provide. So if you choose plants for your yard that are non-GMO and that are native to your area, that is the number one easiest thing that you can do to both attract new pollinators back into your space, but also feed the native pollinators and other beneficial insects and creatures that are going to be stopping through your yard while you're not watching.
I love that for many reasons. One is for what you just explained, that to do the native. But I also love I'm always the buy local girl. So when, for me, I'm thinking of, wow, that people can go to their local nurseries and have a chance to learn about what's indigenous to their area and different or local farms and find out what those plants are. So for me, I'm thinking local economic impact and how it's benefiting everybody. Bees on up.
Exactly. And it's fun. It's actually fun to learn about the area that you're living in. I mean, it's so easy to go pick out pretty flowers at the home store. But really, when you're thinking about what was there in the area before you ever set foot, and
right.
how the creatures were affected by those varieties being removed from the area, putting them back into your area is going to be thrilling.
Well, exactly. But in terms of the pollinators, for you to mention, which is, and I just want to go back and stay on track with that, is that the non-GMO flowers, people might not even have a clue that they're planting something. So we need to find the ones, I'm sorry, the GMO flowers. That's what we want. And so we need to get a better understanding of the non-GMO versus the GMO flowers in our backyards.
Right. And you know, something else to look for when you're picking out native flowering plants is to ask the question to your nursery or your home gardening store, is this plant pre-treated with chemicals? Because a lot of the plants, there were several studies, private studies that came out, I believe last year, through Pesticide Action Network and some of the other organizations that reported there was a very high number of plants that were being sold to the general public that were not labeled, that actually were pre-treated with chemicals that were the exact chemicals that were killing the bees that were going to be pollinating those flowers. So asking the questions is an easy way to at least bring attention to your local, you know, nursery that you are aware of what the chemicals can do to the bees, and that you don't want to be purchasing any plants that are going to be killing the same bees that you want to attract.
Well, I think that people can be doing this even if they don't have a garden per se. I think that's what we want to impart, that if, say, they don't have space for a garden, there's still things that they could be doing that will allow them to support the pollinators. And even just having the awareness, correct?
Yeah, the awareness. You know, we talk about planting native plants, flowering plants. Well, the second most important thing you can do is to stop using landscaping and gardening and insecticide chemicals, because these chemicals, they coat your plants and they coat the earth with these high amounts of deadly toxins that kill creatures of all sorts. They kill pollinators, they kill beneficial insects, they detract and kill birds and butterflies, bats, even frogs are all at risk. So, you know, imagine we have chemicals that we make our lawns pretty with, right?
Yeah.
Those chemicals are not good for us. There's a lot of skin problems that happen when we lay in the lawns that we spray those things on. But what's happening to the little insects that are coming and going through the yard is that they're being poisoned and they're dying. And also, there's a serious risk to the groundwater. Where these toxic chemicals are sprayed. I've seen some studies really show that the toxic chemicals can poison groundwater for up to 1,000 days with just a single application.
Wow.
So it's something to be aware of, that every time you use a chemical, it's not out of sight, out of mind. It's going into the ground. It's going into the insects that keep the area beautiful, and essentially it's going into your body.
Well, I think it goes along with the same notion of be careful on the lotions that you put on your body, although you think it's just going on your skin. Of course, that's being absorbed internally as well. So much to think about. One of the questions that came in was about what the trucks that we're hearing about. Tell me more about these trucks, and are they carrying a million bees, or what is going on with the trucks? I know it's funny, you hear, what is going on with the trucks? What are going on with the chemtrails? Based out on that. Okay. I got thrown off with the trucks. The trucks, the airplanes, you know, are we being bombarded? But what is that all about?
Well, the trucks that you see, the ones that are carrying, you know, tons and tons of bees, those trucks are actually carrying those honeybees. The honeybees, for lack of a better word, they're being enslaved, and they're forced from one location to another in completely unnatural ways, and they're being forced from one area to another because they're pollinating those conventional crops that use the chemicals that kill them.
They're being forced to pollinate poisonous crops.
Exactly. And so it's again, a no-win situation because the investment is a bad investment. The honeybees don't live as long because they're being forced to, from one area to another. Oftentimes they can't even find their hive because the hives are, the boxes are moved in the middle of jobs. They're in an extremely strenuous scenario. There's not enough bees, there's not enough food for the bees, and then they're flying through these orchards and things that are coated with this chemical, and so they're dying. And so every time you see a truck, it's actually reminding you possibly to buy local organic food, because organic food, they don't necessarily rely on the same type of modes of this mass pollination, mass-produced toxic food.
Do you remember back years ago, it was very, very popular, the series of the Anastasia books?
Yes.
Well, I bring that up because people should check those books out. We followed the principles in our flourishing garden, which was that we took all of our saliva in the family household and put it into a bowl, and then we mixed the seeds with everyone's saliva on the premise that it is the most naturally, it's almost like our DNA is put infused into the growing of these seeds. So they, when they grow and they harvest, they're the most natural for our body. And it brought to mind how healthy the food is, but it brought to mind what you're saying, that with these bees are being enslaved and brought from one location to other, it's not as natural as if they were in their own environment making what is, you know, the most aligned.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that practice. For the first time ever, months ago, I was at a community garden in Tucson helping to plant some seeds, and that was something that we did. We held the seeds in our mouth to moisten them with our saliva before dropping them into the soil.
Yep.
I it was interesting because I felt different than simply poking the hole and putting it into the ground. I actually did feel more connected. I do want to mention that There's a much better way for us to pollinate all of our food. Honeybees are not evolved to pollinate our food. There's the solitary bees, the ones that work on their own, but they're actually estimated to be up to 60 times more efficient at pollinating our foods than honeybees. So whenever you see these honeybees being trucked from one place to another, you can also remind yourself that there's a completely different way of operating our food supply system than what's currently happening, and that's a lot of the research that I'm currently working on.
Well, when we come back, that's a great segue for the next segment. I do want to talk about the food supply. I think a lot of people still aren't really sure what foods bees pollinate and if they're affected. I mentioned to someone the other day, you know, you wouldn't have that beer if it weren't for bees. And they just thought I was like had three heads and thought I was crazy. But, you know, I wanted to lay out the litany. I was like, oh, I wish Alicia was here because I know some. I can probably name a few, but you can name out many. And I do want to touch on that for the audience so people are really aware how important bees are and how our food supply is affected. But we're going to take a quick break. Alicia, for people to learn more about the work that you're doing, give us a quick shout out on how to reach you and your Facebook or website address.
All right, thank you. Yes, so I'm going to be launching a huge project where information is currently available at freethebees.org. And freethebees.org is a global education project that is gaining more steam than I suppose I originally anticipated, and we'll talk more about that soon.
Okay, terrific. We're going to take a break. Lots more here with Alicia B. Forrester Scott talking about the world that we live in, and so let's save the bees, and we have some solutions here. We'll take a break. Be right back.
Patricia here from Sculpt Laser Lipo Weight Loss and Wellness Coaching. If you're like a lot of us, you're probably feeling tired, sluggish, and just stuck in a rut. Now's the time to lose weight, have more energy, kick that sugar habit, and feel absolutely amazing. I offer comprehensive health coaching plus the latest in non-invasive laser treatments to clients all over New Mexico. I also work with clients from all over the globe via Skype, email, and phone. No matter where you are, let's work together to create your personal roadmap to abundant health. To set up your initial health telehealth consultation and learn more, call 505-908-7353 or visit sculptlaserlipo.com. As a special thank you to Zeta Global Radio listeners, I am offering 10% off all laser lipo and health coaching services. You deserve to live a happy, healthy, and vibrant life. Let's start your journey today.
Hi, I'm Sarah Jones, wellness advocate with doTERRA. Happy to be here on Zeta Global Radio. My special offer to all ZGR listeners is a lemon oil and A to Z essential oil guide when you visit mydoterra.com/Sarah Jones and purchase $30 or more. I'm looking forward to supporting your journey to health and wellness.
The Lab Recording Studio is located in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the spiritual heart of the Southwest. Whether you're a singer-songwriter, band, voiceover actor, or have a film or TV show that needs scoring, the Lab is a wonderful facility to work in. The list of clients range from Sony, Macy's, and Toyota to independent films such as John Nussbaum's Maria Morte and shorts for Sperry Topsiders, Ralph Lauren, and more. Product quality is that of any big New York or LA studio, only without the big city expenses. Featuring marvelous places to stay and historical and spiritual sites to visit, consider the Lab for your next recording experience. You can visit us at thelabnm.com, facebook.com/thelababq, or email us direct at info@thelabnm.com.
Hi, this is Michael Ostaski, and you're listening to Zeta Global Radio.
Welcome back to our final segment of the world population of bees, and we've learned a lot today, things that we can do, things that we shouldn't do, how to support the bee population. And also we've uncovered some truths and not so truths. So there's always rumors out there. So thank you, Alicia, for bringing such clarity to this incredible topic, one that affects everybody.
You're welcome.
So I wanted to touch on, I mentioned this on the last segment, about the food supply. Tell us about the bees and their extraordinary work and how they affect and what sort of foods they affect, because I know the list is a lot larger than I can even begin to recite here. So at least give some examples so people can be impacted on some of their favorite items in the food world.
Sure. So there's two types of pollination that occur. There's pollination that occurs from wind, for example, and there's pollination that occurs from creatures such as insects and other animals. So bees are the most effective insect pollinator of our human food, and also we know that a lot of the foods that even our pets eat and our livestock comes from 90 varieties of food that we rely on that bees pollinate. So we're talking about vegetables, fruits, nuts, and spices, and the list of foods, you can find several great organizations that will give you a list of foods that are pollinated by bees. One of my favorite lists comes from honeylove.org, and that's one of my friends' websites. And Honeylove, they list this enormous, beautiful list of everything from apples to cherries and pears and guavas and plums, and we have our avocados and our mangoes and walnuts and passion fruit. I mean, all of the deliciousness and nourishing foods that we enjoy are pollinated. And so what we're doing by eliminating the honeybees, who unfortunately are still our primary pollinator, is that we are increasing the cost of these foods. Or in some areas, there are food deserts are already occurring where there are not enough pollinators. So basically, by purchasing cheap produce at the grocery store, you are creating a bigger problem for yourself and your community than you realize, because you're actually contributing to a food scarcity problem. So if, as a culture and world society, if we don't stop buying these foods that contribute to pollinator deaths, not only will food become more expensive than we can afford, but we will not have ready access to it because the bees that are needed to pollinate it will have eventually been wiped out.
What's an example of a food scarcity, if you don't mind, just so people can get a better understanding of that?
Yes. So food scarcity is a somewhat new topic to me as well. I first learned about it in 2013 because the first official food scarcity problems in the United States specifically were recorded in 2013. I'm not sure if you're aware, but the United States' very largest conventional cash crop is almonds, and almonds are grown in orchards. In that year, in 2013, it was the first time in recorded history that there were not enough honeybees available to pollinate that largest cash crop. As a result of having a lack of pollinators, the price of almonds immediately increased, as did many of the other costs of food. They began to rise that year. Yeah, the increase in the cost of food is actually the reality of what will continue to happen as long as conventional food is supported by the masses, because these honeybees that are being forced to pollinate the poison crops are going to be continuing to die, and so the cost to operate those conventional farms increases, and so that cost is actually passed on us, the consumer.
That's frightening, really, when you think about it. I mean, I just think, just using the example of almonds alone, I drink almond milk only. I mean, I don't do dairy. I don't do really anything else except almond milk. So when I hear that, it's a bit shocking to me to think about these. I don't think people think all the steps involved when they're going to their grocery store and pulling out a carton of milk, how the impact is in it. And originates from the bees. So I just appreciate you bringing this to light.
Yeah, well, for every year that the honeybees are pollinating toxic areas, there's going to be a lack of bees. That's from now on. The reality is that we need to switch away from the honeybee as being the primary pollinator of our food. There are actually two particular entrepreneurs. They're the only ones in the world. I happen to know them, and they're working on distributing solitary bees and solitary bee houses so that everyone in their home gardens can learn to propagate a different type of bee that doesn't sting, but that is more efficient as a pollinator, and we can switch the system in our personal lives instead of waiting for, you know, these conventional farms to do the same, because the reality is that it takes quite a bit of time to remediate toxic land, and so even if they stop spraying the chemicals, we don't want to put these solitary bees into toxic areas just because they're more efficient. We want to go ahead and switch the system over altogether towards organic, towards using solitary bees as primary pollinators.
Well said. And people can find out more information on, is it freethebee.org? I just want to get that right and then talk about more about the work that you're doing on there and how people can get involved.
Yes, thank you. So freethebees.org is the latest and best iteration of my life's work and my career work. I do truly commit myself in this moment, and I don't know about the future because I have the now, but I'm here to save and restore bees in the food supply chain in the ways that I'm able. So freethebees.org has a mission to positively educate all online visitors so that they can know how to save and restore bees and the food supply chain in their everyday offline lives. And there's a greater vision, of course. World citizens, including myself, we rely on open source online information. And freethebees.org is a gateway to become a media environment that's going to improve the quality of life, the sense of well-being, in ways that are privately accessible through fun daily check-ins and progress challenges, offering intuitive community support, helpful tools, and relying on this amazing online technology and information through BodyMindInstitute.com. That is the major sponsor of the work.
That's terrific. You mentioned, and I saw this in your bio as well, about easy enrollment. Tell me about more what that is.
So I have easy enrollment notification programs that are going to be opening, today, actually, August 8th. And the easy enrollment notification is basically you can put your name and your email into my system, and I'm going to send you notifications. The first two pieces that I'll send you are two vital journal pieces about the new economy. These are pieces that were already published. They're easy to read articles, and people can become quickly versed in the good news of the bee situation and feel more confident that the world isn't going to end. They can also learn more more about switching over to solitary bees and basic sustainable lifestyle information. Moving forward, the easy enrollment notifications are going to be pushing out interviews, media pieces, handouts, quizzes, links, entertainment, anything that is going to help us as a world culture change the game. And in fact, I'd like to extend an invitation to you, Lainey Savante.
Oh, okay. I'm in. Tell me what I'm doing.
The invitation I would love to extend is I would like for you to be one of the first 25 people on the planet to become part of this FreeTheBees.org talent, meaning that we would have a personal conversation about what it is you're learning right now, what it is you're trying to learn, any magical natural experiences you've had with nature, and all sorts of things that are personal to your real life every day, and you would actually be enrolled as a guest of the Free the Bees program with about 25 other people to motivate others to learn more and sign up for the easy enrollment notifications so that they can see that learning about sustainability is actually fun. It's more of a discussion. It's something that you can practice every day, and I would be honored to work with you in this way.
Oh, well, the honor's all mine. I gladly accept that, and I feel to be of service in any way I can. I've been so profoundly touched my entire life, whether it's been an ant or a spider or a bee or a lion or a human being, that, you know, what I do here on the radio show is to bring forward these stories so people could all feel connected. So I'm thrilled to be part of this, and really, and I said off air, to acknowledge you for being such a way shower for the novices out there, for the experts out there, and for being this incredible bridge to everyone to find out where to go. So many people recently, of course, with the news about Cecil, felt helpless and didn't know where they can go to do something, to express how they were feeling. And so, and I know that as well, when I've talked about bees, that they don't have outlets. Well, they do now, and I'm so glad. So anything I can do, please count me in.
Thank you so much. I mean, I am so pleased. In all reality, the FreeTheBees.org program is vital information about all the things we can do. And it starts with, yes, the honeybees dying, but it's actually related to all things natural world, all things sustainable lifestyle, all things community orientation. The easy enrollment program, it's going to feature educational and entertainment media releases that offer us models, very fine models of sustainable living. There will be a coverage of a wide array of topics, including entertainment and fun. We're going to cover the industries that are actually helping to change the game, relevant global community news, and enrolling in the notifications is the easiest first step that people can take to get on board with helping to change the game.
Excellent. Well, Alicia, we are out of time on this pivotal show, but of course, you can always go to freethebees.org to listen more about everything that we've talked about today. We'll also have more information continuously. I know that we're going to be cutting some PSAs here to support the bee movement with Alicia on Zeta Global Radio. So stay tuned for more. And again, the show will be archived, and we'll have that as well on the bbsradio.com/ZGR. Any last 30 seconds words of wisdom for our folks out there, Alicia?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we can all agree that it's time to move forward with confidence in the ways that we know will positively improve our qualities of life. As I mentioned at the very beginning, we can individually keep our attitudes positive no matter what. We always have a choice to be positive, no matter if we land on our feet or not. We can choose love and compassion, and we can choose to improve life in the ways that we're able. We can plant native plants that don't contain toxic chemicals, and we can switch away from conventional farming and using honeybees as pollination to organic farming and growing solitary bees to help strengthen our food supply chains. We can do this. We know how to do this.
Excellent. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for caring about the planet and for our precious little bees. And may they go forward and foster more bees in the world by us having some little steps that can make the process even better for all. Thank you for being here, Alicia. Love to everybody out there in Zeta Global World Land, and have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Zeta Global Radio here on BBS, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I am your host, Lainey Savante-Quirk. Join us as we come together for your visionary platform for spiritual journalism. We'll be interviewing authors, musicians, filmmakers, and world leaders who are coming together into one accord and sharing a story. ZGR is part of the Zeta Global Group Network.